Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Early Line, Wednesday morning, September 7th, 2022, roughly 36 hours or so away from the NFL opening kickoff. But as we stated before, Joe Ranieri, there still are Major League Baseball teams playing each and every day and a lot of topics that come up, and it's time to buy or sell. Now, my question is, this is one of the most maddening teams I've seen over the past couple of years. It's the Chicago White Sox. Before the season, Joe Ranieri, I said, you know what, they're going to walk their way to the division and maybe do some damage as one of those teams that can actually get to the World Series. Got a lot of power bats, power pitching arms, a good bullpen, and an older sage manager, which is probably no longer the case at this point. So my question to you, buy or sell, three games back to Chicago White Sox, if you want to buy them, Joe Ranieri, to win the AL Central, a plus 450 price. Buy or sell, White Sox edition. Joe Ranieri, your answer.
I sold the White Sox weeks, if not months ago. Yeah. Like, absolutely not. I mean, if you think, if you want to buy the White Sox now, do me a favor, just take out the lighter and burn the money. Just burn it. You'll have way more fun watching it go up in flames than betting on the Chicago White Sox, who have underperformed the entire year. And last night, Donnie, was a case in point of why this White Sox team is so infuriating. Terrible defense, lackluster. Cueto's going out there battling, doing everything he can. They can't score a run. They can't score one run there in a part of the season in which they need to show up and show out. So at this point, Donnie, you are what your record says you are, right? You're a mediocre franchise in a mediocre division. I don't buy mediocre, Donnie.
I'll tell you right now, and I told you, I picked them to win it before the season, but I've been burying them since like late May. Don't you dare come back and win this division, Chicago White Sox, and make me look bad at this point. Just stay dead and buried at this point here. Now, once we thought we're quite a different times here in the NL East, you know, the Mets, insurmountable lead. Whoa, here come the Braves. Up, Mets run it back up. Oh, no, here come the Braves. Even right now on September 7th, heading forward. Now, the Mets have one of the easiest schedules in Major League Baseball. Are we buying or selling here? Are we buying the New York Mets, or are we selling the New York Mets? And who's going to win this division here? Because if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook at those prices, Joe, minus 220 for the Mets to win the division, plus 170 for the Braves. They're even right now. Buy or sell the Mets getting this done here.
Oh, it's so hard, Donnie. Now, you mentioned it. The schedule, unbelievable, the way it favors the Mets here. But they still have three games the week before it's all said and done. Last week is September 1st week. I think September 30th, October 1st and 2nd. Three games against those Atlanta Braves. And I do think there's going to be a good chance, Donnie, those three games are for all the marbles. And I do think because it favors the schedule, the Mets, if you haven't gotten them already, I would wait, Donnie, until they get maybe tied here with the Braves. I think you're going to be able to get the Mets, if that makes any sense, at a much better number if they give back one or two more games, and then I would hammer the Mets at a much better price.
Looking in the mirror, they are, Joe, 85 and 51 down the stretch they come, as we like to say here. So it'll certainly be interesting as that one winds up. Now, the next one I'm going to talk about, we shouldn't even be talking about this, quite frankly. This should be a 19.5 game lead like the Houston Astros have in their division. But it's the Yankees and now the Rays, and also Toronto peeking their head around the corner, only six games back here of the New York Yankees, as we welcome in the radio audience here, SiriusXM channel 159 and all our radio affiliates. This is the Early Line, Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri in hour number two. 4.5 game lead. Buy or sell. Now, again, this should be easy, right? Yankees minus 900. Buy or sell the Yankees
tripping and ending up in second place here in the AL East when it's all said and done?
Oh, it's kind of high by minus 900 because most people already bought the Yankees. So it's very hard to buy it. I would, if I were a buyer in this division and in this market, yes, the Rays would absolutely be a team I would look forward to. You know, the Rays had to endure a ton of injuries throughout the season, Donnie. They're finally starting to get a little healthier. The bullpen is starting to show up again. Yeah, but I also think it's a big caveat. What's the deal with McClanahan? How is that shoulder? What's it going to be? Because very hard to buy the Rays in this spot if their number one guy is a big question mark down the stretch. So I like the Rays at the price. I would just, I've already got Yankee. I already bought him months ago, Donnie. So what the hell am I supposed to do now? I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't even know what to do.
I gotta tell you too.
It's like, come on.
The Rays are 18 games above 500, which is absolutely. I don't know how the Rays do it every year, but they find themselves in this spot repeatedly, making the playoffs. So kudos to them. Quick thoughts here: the Brewers can still make the wild card playoffs here as they sit three games back from the Phillies and the Padres. Are we buying the Brewers, or are we already sold them, Joe, a long time ago?
Playoffs. Playoff? What are you? Are you out of your mind, Brew? No, no. Yeah. We sell them. Awful team.
Oh, I got to tell you, I agree with you too. Quick on this one: the Orioles are buy or sell the Orioles. Can they still the little engine that could, Joe? Can they still get in? Buy or sell those Orioles?
Absolutely. Yes, and buy them on a game by game basis. You'll make yourself a ton of cash. Yes, I'm buying the Orioles.
There we go. You know what else we're going to be buying here shortly? Week two of the college football season. We're going to take a look at some Heisman odds and also some of these teams ranked versus unranked. Who's favorite and why should they be? Come on and find out next. Right here on the Early Line. Joe and Donnie in the morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to swing it over to some college football here on the Early Line. It's Joe Aneri and Donnie Wrightside. But before we do that, we just had a hot topic here talking about Lamar Jackson and if he is going to get that contract signed before he takes the field for week one on Sunday. Ian Rappaport actually tweeted here, nothing imminent, Joe, with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. So as we know, deadlines spark pressure and pressure burst pipes, and they might be able to get that deal done. But today it's Wednesday. You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and early Sunday morning to get that done. So something to keep an eye on. You know what else we're keeping an eye on here? After week zero and week one in college football, looks like the SEC, Joe, still reigning king with Alabama at the FanDuel Sportsbook plus 160 to win the national championship. And now right behind them are the Georgia Bulldogs at a plus 250 price. So if we're looking at the SEC dominance here, do you still see them as both of these teams the favorites to win the national championship, and the FanDuel Sportsbook does have them appropriately priced here?
Yes. There is. Now, the thing that is interesting to me, Donnie, about this is that, listen, we know it's Alabama and everyone else, right? And that's the way it has been for a while with Nick Saban. But Georgia is in that class now, and it's a very small class, and now it's usually just been a class of one with Alabama. But Georgia has said, you know, make room here, guys, to lose 15, count them, 15 guys to the NFL draft playing on Sundays, and you slid a whole bunch of new dudes in there like it's like you didn't even skip a beat. Oregon is not as bad as they looked in that first game. They're not. They are going to be fine out in the Pac-12 there. They're obviously not Georgia level or SEC level, but they are not a bad football team. And what Georgia did to them in that 49-3 whooping is it goes to tell you guys, there's Alabama, there's Georgia, and now we wait to see if the Ohio States of the world, you know, the Miami is the UBAC, you know, these other Texas A&M, who they talk a lot, but can they get it done against the two elites? And there are two elites, and the jury is out, I think, on Ohio State still.
Yeah, I love these huge market moves that we do have here because they're fun to talk about. And also, as we know, watching football over the years, these teams have really improved, Joe, from week one into week two. So I think you're right. I mean, take a look at Oregon, per se, right? Pacific Northwest team. They give them, and I always joke about this, the neutral site game in Atlanta up against Georgia. So in the heart of SEC territory where you're just jumping in your car for a short ride from Georgia, Athens, over to play in the Dome. And then here comes Oregon down. No fan support here. And they get rocked. Now, I don't know what we're anticipating because, quite honestly, I love to say where I was wrong. I thought Oregon was going to be able to hang around the chicken coop, per se, in that game, and they were busted out early in there. But breaking in a new quarterback in Bo Nix for the team, breaking in new head coach, and yes, we understand that, you know, Lanning came over from Georgia. Maybe his team should have been better prepared. There's nothing that can prepare you here, as what we see usually from Alabama in game ones in these kickoff classics, doing the same exact thing. So I think it's fascinating that two SEC teams sit at the top of those rankings. Quick thoughts here, because behind them, Ohio State at plus 300, Clemson at 12-1. I always think Clemson is one of those more intriguing teams because some people watch Clemson and say, I'm not overly impressed by them. But you have to remember, you can't win the national championship unless you get into the college football playoff. And Clemson playing that ACC schedule, which they should roll through, that's half the battle, Joe, just getting into it for a chance to win it here.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And but they have they're going to be tested, Clemson. We were just talking about it, too, off the out of the break there, Donnie, where talk about quarterback controversy. Clemson's going to have one here in the next couple of weeks, although I don't even think it's a controversy. I think the freshman you saw, Klubnik, come in to the latter half of that game, that's the quarterback for Clemson. If they're going to make a run here, Donnie, if they're going to go toe-to-toe with University of Miami and Mario Cristobal, the U, with Van Dyke, who I think is also a Heisman dark horse there, they've got to be able to throw the ball. DJ ain't throwing the ball, and that's not going to get it done here against some of these better teams, even in the ACC. I mean, Hartman coming back now for Wake Forest. You better be able to throw the ball in the ACC, guys, and that doesn't appear to be what DJ does well there for Clemson. So Dabo's going to have a decision to make, and Ohio State, I do think the offense is going to get better. Donnie, I do think Al Golden there of Notre Dame, the DC there, did a fantastic job of mixing up the looks, dropping everybody back. He had two safeties back. He wasn't going to get beat over the top. It took them a little while to adjust, but Ohio State, it was the defense was the question mark, right? Jim Knowles comes in, 3-13 on third down, keeps him under 100 yards rushing. The defense for Ohio State, it's back. That's what I wanted to see from them. I do think Stroud and company, they will get better as the season moves on offensively. But now defensively, they got that whole package. So, Ohio State is going to be in the conversation, I think, when it's all said and done. But they got to beat Michigan.
Yeah, and also quick points there on Clemson. I mean, that is a championship-ready defense here, and you're right about that. Yep. You need a quarterback that's going to be able to step up in the big moments. And also, Dabo Swinney has done a fabulous job at recruiting. That team is a Ferrari on offense. You just need the right driver in the pocket, so to speak, to let that happen. And I think that might be changing here. We'll keep an eye on that as it goes. Talking about the Heisman race here, and two guys, usually it's Bryce Young. We talk about C.J. Stroud. Right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're even up here. Plus 300 on Bryce Young to win the Heisman, plus 300 on C.J. Stroud. But my question to you is, Anthony Richardson had a big day, three rushing touchdowns on the ground, an upset, if you want to call that, over a top 10 team down in Florida, and Stetson Bennett at 20-1. Stetson Bennett really caught me by storm because I thought it would be one of those, hey, Bennett's going to, man the fort here, get the ball where it needs to be. We'll play good defense, and we'll wind up in the SEC championship game. Eye-opening performance out of Stetson Bennett. So my question is, do those two guys actually have a legitimate chance to take down a Heisman Trophy?
Yes, they all do. And I think Anthony Richardson is unique from the perspective that we are already getting the NFL talk, where they rank this guy as certainly going to be a top 10 pick in the draft when he goes. He's 6'4". Cam Newton is the name that keeps getting thrown around with him, and I can see it because he's a building. He's 6'4", he's 240 pounds, he can run, he's got a cannon of an arm, and he seems to be taking the maturity step, right? I mean, that was a big, big win in a big, big moment against Utah. He's ultimately going to be judged on, from a Heisman perspective, what does he do on the road against some of the other SEC defenses, not Utah's, right? So he's got an opportunity to shine and go right up the board. The problem with Stetson Bennett is we're going to be talking about Georgia's defense every week, and he's going to get overshadowed, right? I mean, that no matter how well he plays, it's going to be that defense, and that's going to be, I think that's going to hinder him. But don't sleep on guys like Van Dyke in Miami, who can go toe-to-toe with Clemson if they win, if they beat Jimbo, let's say, in another week or so. Van Dyke is a guy that's absolutely going to be in that Heisman conversation for sure. The kid can absolutely sling it, and he is a pro-style passer, so he's going to be getting a lot of NFL clout as well.
Yeah, playing in those big games certainly can move up that profile for a Heisman Trophy, you know, winning quarterback. All it takes is against a ranked team to go nuts, 350 and four touchdowns, and you put yourself right in the building there. Now, some fun topics here, Joe, we're going to talk about coming up, because if anybody has ever seen here, and quickly we'll make this point, the Iowa Hawkeyes scored 7 points against South Dakota State, a 7-3 game. Their team total is 22.5 versus Iowa State. Do we just go under just because it's the only way to go here?
Absolutely correct. There's no other way. We've seen this movie before with Iyer and Spencer Petras. I can't believe they brought him back. Under, and more unders when it comes to Iowa until further notice. Team totals, too.
On my Twitter profile here, over the past couple of years, there's been nobody that's gone in on Iowa football more than me, because I say to myself, when, you know, you have the head coaching staff come into your living room as a quarterback, running back, or wide receiver and say, look, we're going to put you in. I said, man, well, I just watched the game where you scored 7 points here. I'm not coming to that school here. It's amazing how they still have a competitive program, but that's Big Ten football, as we like to say. Two more topics we'll talk about after the break here, and then we'll get your Major League Baseball preview for Wednesday underway. It's the Early Line right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big card here in Major League Baseball, which we'll get to in just a few moments here. The early line, we still got some college football news to get to. One of my favorite times of the year is you have the handicappers and the people knowledgeable about sports betting, and then you have just the average Joe looking at games, and they say to themselves, now hold on, Joe Ranieri, let me get this straight. Tennessee is going on the road unranked, playing a ranked Pittsburgh team. How can this possibly happen? -6.5 for Tennessee. And quite frankly, the FanDuel Sportsbook opened this line at -4.5 in the favor of the Tennessee Volunteers, but now sits at 6.5 and going into Pittsburgh. When you see lines like this, does this automatically draw you towards Tennessee? Or is this one of those where you say, now hold on, maybe a little bit of disrespect here going on for the Pitt Panthers?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not too sure Pitt should have won that first game. Let's be realistic here. They were actually outplayed in a number of areas in that spot, but they ended up, you got the job done. The defense, which has always been the hallmark of Narduzzi's teams, right? They showed up and they showed out in the end when they needed it the most. But boy, oh boy, again, we have an SEC team in Tennessee playing an ACC team in Pittsburgh, and they are hungry. I believe they've got what now? Is it Hooker's back there for Tennessee? I thought he was really good last year. I thought he was pretty good last week, too. 18 of 25, 221. 10 different receivers on Tennessee caught passes. I think they're going to be able to hang. I'm not sold on the Pitt offense like I'm sold on the Tennessee offense, which means that Pitt defense is going to have to be even better, but I'm not buying it. I mean, home is nice. Being at home is nice, but I just think too much talent, too much speed also for the Tennessee Volunteers. I think they end up getting it done, and if they don't, it's because the Pittsburgh defense plays out of their mind, but I didn't get that vibe from them. They're capable, but I didn't get that vibe last week. Did you?
No, SEC versus, you know, ACC usually handles the tide. The one thing I did like about Pitt last week, Joe, that front four was getting some pretty good pressure against West Virginia, but obviously West Virginia certainly not an SEC team. Another team, which I love to talk about these games as well, because ranked Kentucky going into Florida. Now, Florida's got back-to-back home games. Now, you saw last week upsetting a top 10 team. Now they're going to try to do it again here, but they were favored in this one now. Open up at 6.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now down to 4.5 here. Mm-hmm. Is this one of those, Joe, because I wanted to ask your opinion on this as well. We saw Florida win last week. Are they getting that little overhype bounce into week two? And should we be worried about that? Or what's the real Florida? Is it the 3 touchdowns on the ground for Richardson and then beating a top 10 team? Or are they going to bounce back to reality for what we thought they might be entering into the season?
It's amazing. People love betting week two in college football. And you know why, Donnie? The overreactions are over the top. And we love it every year, which means you're getting value on teams that you didn't just a couple of weeks ago with look-ahead lines there. You had mentioned it already, the money coming in because of what? Yeah. You beat Utah at home. This Kentucky rivalry has actually been a pretty darn good rivalry for Florida. It wasn't for years, right, Donnie? Kentucky would simply come in and be a doormat every time they came to the swamp. But it is not. The Dan Mullen years changed that here for Kentucky. And, I think the look-ahead line was a lot closer to the reality of what this game should be. Florida is in a prime letdown spot. And by the way, so are the bettors who couldn't wait to run and bet them because Anthony Richardson is the greatest thing in the world. You know, he had to come back and win that game. Let us not forget there. They did a really good job of limiting what Anthony Richardson could do in that game. I think the Kentucky defense going to be even better. And I think they know how, and they've got the confidence to be able to do just that, go and beat Florida. I think you're getting some value here in this game here. I do like Kentucky to, if Richardson's not on the field, how important is he going to be? Because the running game of Kentucky, that's going to be their number one priority. And will Levis, to me, maybe on par with the guy he's playing against.
Yeah, interesting stuff here. As we head into week two of the college football season, no better place to be here than the Sports Grid Network to get all that information. Just like Joe gave out there, listen to us. We'll put you on that right path here. But it is September. It is Major League Baseball season. There's a full card today, and it's time to make that transition over because there are some pressure cookers here that are going to happen over the next couple weeks. And one just might be the Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates. What, as you say? How about this? Tied in the standings, those Braves and the New York Mets. Doubleheader today for the New York Mets. Now, we could preview game two and say Jacob DeGrom is a, you know, minus 900 favorite here against the Pirates, but we won't do that. Let's start with the first game, 12:35 today, and I'm looking at this game from a Mets perspective. Not that I want to pay that price on the New York Mets, but I do want to take a look at a team total, because in the first game that we actually, you know what? Did they switch this up on me? Because this is what I'm looking at right now. I'm seeing DeGrom as a starter in game one on my book here. What does fit? Do you have FanDuel up by any chance with you?
Yeah.
Let's keep it the same then.
I see Bassett, 12:35.
We'll keep it the same. Perfect. Yep. All right. So I didn't have it wrong here at that point, but sometimes some of these things do interchange when they're talking about the doubleheader. But if we're looking from Wilson as a starting pitcher here for the Pittsburgh Pirates, 5.39 xFIP over the past 30 days. Lefty and righty batters, Joe, 340 to lefties as a weighted on base percentage to righties, a 384. I think the Mets get off the schneid early here. They need this game. They can't roll into game number two here with another loss and technically a half game back to the Atlanta Braves here. Your thoughts on this doubleheader today and maybe being pressed, because you can't just walk into a doubleheader and say, oh, we're going to take both of these games. It's rare that you do that, more likely getting a split.
Yeah, so the problem is I'm not worried about the pitching. I'm worried about the bats that have seemed to have gone completely cold here, Donnie. And listen, if you can't score, you can't win. And even if DeGrom is on the mound, and by the way, DeGrom 1-3 in 6 career starts against these Pirates here with a 2.43 ERA. Bassett, by the way, is actually, he did a really great job against the Dodgers in that last game. 2 runs, 6 hits, 6 innings. He's also 5-0 with a 2.38 ERA and 28 strikeouts over his last 7 games. So Bassett really starting to come into form right now. That could be the guy, more so than DeGrom, who's had his troubles. against this Pirates organization, but I think Bassett is the guy, especially if he's going in this early game. The Mets win game one, Donnie. They're going to win game two. And so I think the pressure is on Bassett to keep the bats down, do what he's been doing here over the last month, and get his team a win. They don't have to score 90 runs to beat the Pirates. Get it done, Bassett, and let DeGrom do what DeGrom does here and get the sweep and get back on track.
Yeah, be much needed here because as we sort of segue into the next game and where it makes some sense, Atlanta and Oakland here, 3:37 start out there on the West Coast, and this is Strider versus Waldichuk. So you say, well, who's Waldichuk exactly? That's why this line is a -295 and probably going to cross over that -300 threshold by the time the game gets underway, 979, 980 on the rotation. The total in this game listed at 7. Now, for me, I look at this game and I say, well, the matchup is going to be Strider against his bad offense for the Oakland Athletics. When Joe last night, I said the same thing. Well, the matchup in this game is going to be between Wright versus that bad Oakland offense here. Well, they scored 9 runs last night, 19 total runs overall. This game sits at a 7. Obviously, we do think the Atlanta Braves are going to win because Strider's been fantastic and probably going to win, you know, the NL Rookie of the Year over his own teammate at this point, which is incredible for what the Braves do in that farm system. But again, it's a pressure situation. It's a younger pitcher. They need this game. There's a good chance that by the time they end this, that the Braves will have a full game lead over the Mets at this point here. Talk about this game a little bit here and 19 runs last night. Are we looking under 7 here, or maybe do you think more runs are possible?
So funny, Waldichuk, interesting, went to school at St. Mary's, not too far from Oakland Coliseum down here. So he's a local kid. And, oh, by the way, he was part of that Frankie Montas deal with the Yankees. So having an opportunity to come home, he's from the area there. He did pitch against, I think, the Nats on Thursday and did pretty good, 4 2/3 there. They ended up losing 7-5, but he certainly held his own. The thing that worries me here, and the Braves, if you've noticed, they haven't lost since they moved Acuña to the DH spot, I think a little over a week ago. They have been absolutely crushing it. So, you know, they're trying to savor him. This whole DH in the National League, Donnie, we weren't sure what the effect was going to be, but we are really starting to see some teams benefit. And pitchers, by the way, not having to worry so much about bullpens blowing games in the 7th, 8th, and 9th because you don't have to pinch hit for the pitcher anymore in the National League. But what worries me is Iglesias, Minter, and I believe Kenley Jansen had to play last night. They had to go in and throw some innings for the Braves. So it's going to be up to Strider to be able to hold the fort down on what is a pretty free-swinging A's team. The A's couldn't score at home. Remember that? They were like, they were laughable, but they are swinging the bats there, although I do think they lost Laureano last night, so you got to keep an eye on that. But you would think over, but can we expect another 9-run performance by the A's against Strider? Oof, yikes.
Yeah, looking for that true pitcher's performance out of Strider. And by the way, you know, the Marlins and the A's were basically the same team. Nobody could score. Well, the Marlins still can't score. It looks like the A's busted out last night. Yep. But also, talking about the DH quickly in the National League, you're right about that. Ronald Acuña is still struggling with that knee injury. He doesn't have to play the field. And also, look past the Philadelphia Phillies, who are trying to fight for a wild card position. Bryce Harper would already be out for the season with that elbow injury because he can't play the field. Now, at least he could be a DH each and every night and still keep that hot bat in the lineup. A lot more to go on this Major League Baseball card as we cover it. A lot of things up in the air. Who's going to win the division? Come on, Mac, let's do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball is on the mind right now. We got a lot more games to here on this Wednesday card. It's Joe and Donnie here in the AM, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159 out west. Last year, these two teams, talking about the San Francisco Giants and the Los Angeles Dodgers, were battling it out, going over 100 wins to see who was going to win that division. Now, that's no longer the case at this point, and more likely the Dodgers shaping up their pitching staff here before they head into the postseason. And why is that? Clayton Kershaw is going to be on the mound today. Last 30 days coming back here off the IL, a 440 XFIP number, which isn't too bad, but his strikeout percentage, Joe, pretty good. 32% of the batters he's faced, he has struck out. Only 19 batters faced over the minimal time that he's had, but he has, as we like to say, handled his business today. If we're looking at that price point, a minus 270 with a total of 8.5. By the way, that 8.5 seems a little bit high to me. I'm leaning on more of an under between these two ball clubs. Any opinions between the Giants and the Dodgers today, Joe?
Well, you know me. I mean, number one, Cobb going for the Giants today. He's actually been really, really good here last couple of outings. Seven hits over his 12 scoreless innings here. So he's actually done a really, really good job of minimizing damage. The thing with Cobb is you got to worry about him that third time through the order. That's when things start to go crazy with him. But prior to that, I'm kind of with you, Donnie. The 8.5 is a bit head-scratching here. He's had some pretty good success here in the past. I think it's a first five under situation as well. We all know the Giants tend to, I mean, look, they hit a home run on the first pitch. Brinson hits the first pitch off of Anderson, hits it for a home run, and then they got to wait, you know, till five innings later until Crawford hits a home run, and then that's it. So they're not exactly a prolific offense. I don't think they're going to be prolific against Kershaw either. I think this screams first five under in this one, Donnie.
There you go. So looking at some unders, I like the full game under. Joe likes a little first five under, and certainly that correlates. I would love to see a nice little 1-0 game after five innings setting up that back half here. But let's continue down the Major League Baseball path here. Next game up, Chicago White Sox and the Seattle Mariners. Also another afternoon game, 4:10 start out on the West Coast. So obviously this game will be starting at 1:10 Pacific. If we're looking at the pitchers in this game lined up, looks like it's going to be Kopech versus Castillo. I love Luis Castillo. 3.41 XFIP number, Joe, over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, close to a 30% strikeout rate. Also, get this, 66 batters he's faced from the left-hand side. And again, Castillo's a right-handed pitcher, a 288 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 117. Fantastic. From the right side here, being with Castillo, 57 batters he's faced. That's a 235 ISO power, no, excuse me, 235 weighted on base percentage and an 057 ISO power number. If there's not a lefty going up against the Chicago White Sox, usually it's a fade for me. But if we're looking at that price, a minus 205 for Castillo tells you everything you need to know about buying or selling. Can the White Sox get into the playoffs? I don't think they win today. And quite frankly, if I'm just looking at Castillo versus Kopech, give me the first five innings. I'll take the run line here on the Mariners.
Yeah, and Kopech hasn't pitched. You know, he was shelved August 23rd with a bruise, that right or left knee, one of the knees there. So this will be his first, foray back onto the mound there. He pitched once in relief a couple innings against this Seattle team in this spot. So now he's going to the mound, having to go up against Castillo, and I'm with you, Donnie. That number speaks volumes. And I believe Lewis Roberts also left in the middle of that game last night, too. So here we go again with the injuries for the White Sox. It's very hard not to like Seattle in this spot. They went out to get Castillo to win games and close things out just like this. And, it's going to be hard to go against them. And I'm with you. I'll lay the half a run in the first five. I think the White Sox will handle business and get to Kopech early.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens here. Mariners, we're all Mariners up here, and the Mariners headed towards the playoffs here, and obviously Chicago White Sox looking on the outside, is what to say, looking in. Let's keep going here. Boston and Tampa Bay, 6:40 start tonight. And if we're looking at this game overall, like, Tampa needs every win they can get if they want to chase down the New York Yankees. But if we take a look here at the lines, a minus 172 price here currently for the Tampa Bay Rays and a total listed at 7, and that comes right down to pitching here. Now, say what you want about, you know, the excitement factor of the Rays in that ballpark. They play pretty well down there, and typically it's tough to hit home runs. If we're looking at Springs on the mound today for the Tampa Bay Rays, a 3.41 XFIP number, 30% strikeout rate, 319 weighted on base percentage to lefties. Keep in mind, he is a lefty. To righties, even better. A 251 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 059. We're looking at this lineup here, the estimated lineup, I should say, Joe, for the Boston Red Sox versus left-handed pitching over the 30 days. They've been terrible. Tommy Pham's got a 174 ISO power number, which is average. Take a look at the next few batters. Verdugo, 120. Storia, 0. Devers, 095. Martinez, 067. Arroyo, 056. And Wong, a 0. Tampa Bay, I think they're headed for another victory. And if I'm looking to isolate this game, again, matching up maybe a first five innings, but I wouldn't even mind taking a run line for the full game for Tampa Bay going up against Boston today.
Yeah, at 11-4, the Rays are against this Red Sox team this year. 12 runs in a couple of games already. The bats are starting to heat up. Now, Rasmussen was scheduled, but it looks like he's on the maternity list there with his wife having a baby. So Springs is going to be thrown into action. He may have to go a few more innings than usual here. They did do the whole bullpen route last night, so... it's going to be a group effort pitching-wise, but what is to lead us to believe that they won't get to Pivetta, that they won't have the lead again in here? They've done a really good job against this Red Sox team, and very hard to back anything to do with the Red Sox or the Red Sox bullpen, Donnie. It's been a great bet to wait until you get to that latter half of the game and then just fade the Red Sox bullpen and expect Tampa Bay to come out on top and finish the sweep here.
Yeah, I talk about so many times here in the month of September, Joe, the haves and the have-nots. Some teams actually playing for the postseason, other teams just playing basically for the offseason. You're probably getting that with the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. And also the next game we're going to talk about right here, the Miami Marlins taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. So the Phillies, quite frankly, got a gift last night. Bryce Harper with a simple fly out down the left field line somehow turns into a double, comes around on a Gene Segura base hit. So 3-2 win for the Philadelphia Phillies. They'll take that each and every time. But the one thing you can count on every night, it seems like, Joe, from the Marlins is they can't score. Now, Falter is going to be on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies, who isn't a very good pitcher, but you still need some batters that are going to be able to do some damage. Now, the question is going to be, can the Phillies hit Rodgers, who Rodgers only has 23 batters faced over the past 30 days, an xFIP number of about, looks like a 4. So, I mean, lefties, 2 that he's only faced. It's a 0 weighted on base percentage. Obviously, he needs more than that to get a good read. 21 batters from the right side, though, a 273. If I'm looking at any Marlins game, even though, Joe, it's in Philadelphia in a smaller ballpark, not hot conditions today. We'll be in the low 70s. I look towards that total of 8, and I say to myself, or 7.5, which is now listed at 8 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I think it stays under because the Marlins getting like 2 runs is like a huge party for them.
Yeah, his last start there, he wasn't terrible against Tampa. 5 hits, 1 run, 6 innings there for Rodgers, but he's going to have to be exceptional here. Let's be realistic. I think another walk-off situation for the Phillies last night, they're starting to feel it. I can't trust Miami at all to score enough runs. So I think there's one of two ways to go here. By the way, over a 7 ERA in, I believe it was 8 career starts against the Phillies. They see it well with Rodgers. I think the Phillies team total might be the way to go up and over here. I believe 4.5, somewhere in that ballpark there. I think they're going to have some success today hitting the ball more than they had last night.
Yeah, the haves and the have-nots, 2 straight games. We talked about that now. Now they're both the haves, as we would like to say. The Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles both trying to get into the playoffs here. Toronto trying to push Baltimore more out of the way. Baltimore trying to climb back in to get within 2.5 games. Now, if we take a look here, the interesting part is Baltimore, kudos to them. They didn't get any help from the front office at the trade deadline. You're not looking at frontline starting, you know, Bradish is on the mound today, Kramer's on the mound, but they've been handling their business. Look at Kramer, Joe, over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, 3.73 xFIP number. But take a look at these splits here. 35 lefties he's faced. And again, Kramer's a right-handed pitcher, a 203 weighted on base percentage with an ISO of 029 to right-handed batters, a 298 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 141. So when you're lining it up, it doesn't really matter all the much that if you dominated left-handed bats, because as we know, you're getting at least 8 right-handed batters in the lineup tonight for those for the Toronto Blue Jays. I do think they are a valid option tonight, but what are you going to get out of Manoah? We know the talent here. Take a look at this. I mean, we're talking weighted on base percentage, 325, Joe, is the average. So anything above that as a pitcher is bad. Anything below that is very good. 50 batters that Manoah's faced over the past 30 days from the right side, a 185 weighted on base percentage in an ISO of 022. Lefties, you say, well, maybe they're hitting better, an ISO of 130. Should be a pretty good pitching matchup. And today, a lot of these numbers I'm looking at, Joe, I'm leaning towards the under here again.
Not a bad way to look. And don't forget, there was a little bit of a little bit of brouhaha last night in the seventh inning,
right,
where the bench is all cleared. You know, there was a little bit of a didn't like getting shown up after striking out Chapman. So that probably will carry over because there's a lot of animosity between these two teams. But, you know, you mentioned it. Manoah at home, one thing. Manoah on the road, another thing. The problem is, in Manoah, I believe he's pitched now in the month of August. He had consecutive starts against Baltimore in the month of August, and he lost them both. So they seem to have a pretty good handle on what Manoah is dealing. On the road here, not to mention Kremer, I mean, the kid has been interesting, to say the least, this year. But he did beat the Orioles back in August 16th, seven innings of just two-run ball against them. So this is, could it be something else for the Orioles to be in a spot to split this series after losing the doubleheader opener, losing those two games? They win last night. Now they get a chance to go out and do what they've already done twice, and that's beat Alex Manoah and the Toronto Blue Jays, only this time at Camden. So, you know, as a dog, Donnie, with the Orioles in spots like this, it's always Orioles on the run line, Orioles a run and a half.
The little engine that could it be those Baltimore Orioles making it into a wild card race? Quickly here, we'll get to this final game, because finally I'm digging on a little bit of a total here, which is a team total. The Washington Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals in this game. Obviously a heavy favorite here for the Cardinals, but I'm focusing in on that Cardinals offense, Joe, going up against Abbott.
Like
six XFIP here for Abbott over the past 30 days. Decent strikeout guy. He actually has some decent splits between lefties and righties. But when you take a look at that XFIP, sooner or later, it's going to catch up to him. I'm going St. Louis team total over. Any thoughts on this game between the Nats and the Cards, even though the Nats finally got beat yesterday? Wow, how about that?
Yeah, five of their last six they've won, actually playing some pretty good baseball. But I think that ends now. I mean, Montgomery was the trade of the of this year at the deadline. Let's face it. What he's done for them and how he's elevated this staff is unbelievable. And I'm kind of with you, man. I think there's a couple of ways to play this. But I think all roads lead to the St. Louis Cardinals and Montgomery dominating early in this game with the lead. So I'll lay the half a run with the Cardinals here in the first five.
We got everything covered today on a Wednesday. We talked college football. We talked a little Major League Baseball, some NFL action, getting you ready here on the Sports Grid Network for an exciting football season. Wednesday mornings won't be the same without Joe Ranieri. Thank you, Joe Ranieri, for joining the show and waking up early with us on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for a Wednesday right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. And as we take a look today, we talked over a lot. Major League Baseball, you know, college football, NFL action. And then we're going to hand it over here to Ben Stevens and the morning after. But before we do that, you know the NFL is on deck. Tomorrow night, we're going to see a banger of a game, or at least we anticipate, between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. But this weekend, the Green Bay Packers are playing, and Aaron Rodgers loves him some rookie wide receivers. Listen up. Devontae Adams, you're a great wide receiver. Jordy Nelson, thank you so much. Greg Jennings, even back in the day, right? Randall Cobb in his prime. No. That's not who we're leaning on here for the upcoming 2022 NFL season for the Green Bay Packers. It's players like Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and also Samori Toure out of Nebraska, who they drafted in the seventh round. And Aaron Rodgers is saying all the right things. Boy, oh boy, these players are really stepping up. I'm excited to see how they do come Sunday. Well, Sunday, you're going to be in Minnesota. There's going to be 75,000 plus fans in a dome screaming where you used to look over to the left or to the right. make eye contact with Jordy Nelson or Devontae Adams. Give him that little wink where he knew that was a 7-yard slant pass. Give him a little touch of the helmet. That's a fade route here. Give him a little like, hey, scoot in here for a 7-yard slant and turn it into a post pattern. You knew right away at the snap. Now you don't have that. Let's see how these young rookie performers are going to perform on Sunday when you're in a divisional battle, which you absolutely need to win game number one against the Minnesota Vikings to reassert your dominance in that division. Could we see Aaron Rodgers on the cusp of winning a third straight MVP trophy? And my goodness, if he does that with this group of wide receivers, it will be a Herculean effort to get it done. But could Aaron Rodgers be up for the task? Maybe so. He's shown the propensity to do that in the past. But boy, oh boy, for a quarterback of this stature, heading into the season with these wide receivers, it's going to be a fun one to watch you play out. But nothing more fun than Ben Stephens and the Morning After coming up next.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.